Hey, welcome back, everybody. Sarcasm Speaks, Jared and Bob here. I want to start out with this because I think it's just really funny. I saw it on the Roku News app when I was reading it earlier today. So they put out, you know, daily stories, right? I talk about them enough. They're not a sponsor of the show, but they might as well be. I'll give them free ads all they want. Check out the Roku News. It used to be Roku Wave or whatever it is. Just search that on the App Store or Android, whatever, and you'll find it. But this is funny to me. San Francisco just opened its first public restroom. Now, you might be saying, why do you think that's funny? Well, if you've been living under a rock, you wouldn't know that San Francisco has a massive homeless problem, which is also followed up by a public defecation problem, to the point where the San Francisco Department of Public Works created an app for residents of San Francisco to drop a pin on a location where there is human feces on the sidewalk so that said San Francisco DPW can come and clean it up. So it's not like a private company that was like, I'm going to create an app that tracks the shit on the streets in San Francisco. Nope, it was the San Francisco city government that did that. And again, I think we all know San Francisco is a shithole at this point, quite literally, because there's shit everywhere. And now they just announced they created their very first public restroom. Now, why is this newsworthy? Well, originally, this was announced in 2022. And when they announced it, do you want to gather a guess on the estimated cost of putting in this public restroom in the streets of San Francisco in 2022 when the original announcement was made?
I want to say the ones they did in like Somerville or Cambridge, I want to guess that they were like $350 a piece. So if it's San Francisco, $750,000.
That would be a bargain. 1.7 million.
I was only off by a million.
Yeah. $1.7 million was the projected cost to build this thing when they first announced it in 2022. Because of that, I guess in city hall meetings or whatever they do in San Francisco and in the news and all kinds of stuff, it kind of was turned into a mockery, right? It's like place with shit on the street problem is going to spend $1.7 million to make a public restroom that no one will use. So eventually they brought their construction costs down to $200,000. So that's probably right on par with what it cost in Somerville in Cambridge.
I want to say those were like three and change.
Yeah. But originally it was supposed to cost $1.7 million until there was outrage, which rightfully so.
What were the fucking toilet seats made out of? Fucking platinum?
Yeah, I have no idea.
plutonium fucking sinks?
So they had like a whole thing. There was a celebration for this thing. And they said it was toilet themed, obviously, including a live jazz band that renamed itself American Standard for the day. So if you don't know, American Standard is a very popular brand of toilet and sink.
They could have saved a bunch of money by not hiring a band.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. They definitely could have done that. And not had a celebration. Like, why do you need like any sort of festivities to celebrate the opening of a public bathroom?
Well, that's why your $200,000 bathroom cost 1.7.
Yeah. Well, they brought it down to 200, but still kept the band.
but you said a key word. You said construction costs 200,000.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just how the article is written. It said it originally 1.7 million and now 200,000.
Yeah, I'm reading between the lines, and I am suggesting that 1.7 million probably included some bullshit. Just like every other fucking bill that comes through, it's a COVID relief bill, and we're gonna talk about fucking a pay raise for congressmen. And then it's the same thing. It's like, oh, it's gonna cost 1.7. And that definitely included like a celebration and fucking ticker tape parade and a toilet fucking mascot, and Scrubbin' Bubbles was gonna show up and
The
whatever.
jazz band.
And then they say, oh, we got the construction down to 200,000. Now they didn't spend the 1.7, but construction was 200,000, and then they spent another fucking 50 on bullshit.
Probably, yeah. Probably. So yeah, it's also they said it's in the Noe Valley neighborhood. I know nothing about San Francisco, but I've never heard of anyone talk about Noe Valley. So I'm assuming that's probably like a really nice part of San Francisco, which is again ironic because that's not where it's needed. It's needed in like the Tenderloin, right? And like the downtown area.
Why would you put it there? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, all those homeless people that are just shitting in the street over there.
That's the thing. Why would you use a bathroom if you just shit on the street?
Yeah, I mean, what is the point of a public restroom anyway, right? Like in the middle of the street.
The whole area is a fucking public restroom.
The whole state is a
I
public
actually got that for
restroom.
free.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I thought that was funny. I thought there was a lot of irony in there. So you can't make this shit up.
Didn't they come? Didn't they have something else? Did someone send something in the group chat where
maybe.
they spent 122 million dollars to house 121 homeless units or some shit?
Oh yeah, there was it $24 billion?
No, I thought it was 100. I thought it was 122 million to do 121 units because each unit was came out to over $1 million.
Oh, really?
I think someone sent it in the Twitter chat.
Oh. Huh.
That's like another. So I don't know what the, again, I didn't read it and I don't care, but I'll just speculate anyway because what would we be if we actually fact checked things and
Yeah. We don't need to do that.
got complete info?
Yeah.
How the fuck does it cost $1 million to come up with one fucking unit
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole
of
lot of
homeless
sense.
people?
Well, as a whole, California spent $24 billion on what they call the quote unquote homeless crisis, right? But nothing improved in the entire state.
Didn't it actually go up?
Yeah,
Like
I think
the
homelessness
homelessness.
increased. Yeah. Yep. So this was another thing. This was what I found. I think Vinny might have sent me this, but it was California GOP leaders are calling for more accountability after an audit released earlier this week indicated that the state spent around $24 billion to tackle the homeless crisis over the past 5 years. Okay, so it's over 5 years. It's not in 1 year, but still, $24 billion is a shit ton of money. But did not consistently track whether the huge outlay of public money did anything to actually improve the problem. That's even worse. Let me read that again for you in case you missed it. After an audit released earlier this week indicated that the state spent around $24 billion to tackle the homelessness crisis over the past 5 years, but did not consistently track whether the huge outlay of public money did anything to actually improve the problem. So they spent all of this money and they did not track to see whether it was making any effect. So now they have no idea whether it did anything or it didn't do anything because they didn't even bother to check.
Well,
I think that's worse than doing nothing, right?
No,
like if
no,
you
no.
spend
it's,
the money
no,
and do
smart.
Nothing.
It's smart because 24 billion, they didn't use 24 billion to actually combat homelessness. People got paid or
oh no, that's how this
programs
works.
Got funded, so
yeah, that's how it all works. It's all bureaucracy.
Why do you think they didn't track?
Because if they did, then you would find out where the money went.
They knew it wasn't going to work.
Right.
So if you don't track it, you can be like, oh, well, sorry, we didn't track it. We're just incompetent.
Yeah. You can keep sending us money, though, in our budget.
Yeah, we'll get it right next time.
Yeah.
But if you do track it and you know it's not going to work, well, then people are going to ask questions. So now people can ask questions like, how are you so incompetent? I don't know, man.
Yeah. So the state auditor's report found that despite the roughly $24 billion spent on homeless and housing programs during 2018 to 2023 fiscal years, the problem didn't improve in many cities, according to the auditor's report. So the auditor went and like tracked stuff on his it's not one person that does this state audit. It's a group of people. So, you know, the auditor's office did their own tracking and found that the problem did not improve in many cities. So again, to be fair, like some of them, it might've stayed the same. Some of them, it might've got better, but most of them didn't improve. Among other things, the report found that the California Interagency Council on Homelessness, that sounds like a bullshit organization, which is responsible for coordinating agencies and allocating resources for the homelessness programs, stopped tracking whether the programs were working in 2021.
What was that entity?
The California Interagency Council on Homelessness.
Here's a question. Now, politics aside, what is that agency's motivation to solve the homelessness problem?
Yeah, there isn't one.
Their department ceases to exist if
right.
they solve the homelessness problem.
Exactly. Yeah, this is a real thing. And so I know you probably don't know who this is, but Colleen Noir has talked about this multiple times. He's a lawyer. He's also like a really big gun rights advocate. But he gets a lot of flack because he's black and people come after him and, you know, other black people come after him and call him all sorts of names and stuff because he's a conservative gun rights supporting lawyer. And I've listened to him on a couple different podcasts. He was just on the Chris Williamson, the Modern Wisdom podcast, not too long ago. He's very, very well spoken. Like you can tell, like he's a smooth talker. He's an intelligent guy. He's charismatic. He's a great listen. But he had said this, I think, on a Rogan episode like a couple of years ago, exactly what you had said. And he's been saying it ever since. He goes, what is the incentive for these programs to actually solve the homelessness crisis? And he said, like verbatim, what you just said, if they solve the crisis, their department ceases to exist. So there is no incentive by creating this agency and filling it with full-time staffers. You are basically putting the nail in the coffin that homelessness is never going to get fixed because these people want to keep their jobs. They want to keep their cushy state-funded jobs, right, with the state pension and retirement and things like that. And they don't want to go away. And if they solve homelessness, then all that goes away.
Yet no one asks these questions. Just yeah. Me on this fucking, just dumbass me, stupid fuck me. And this other guy that sounds like he might have a fucking brain. We're the only two people questioning this.
Well, now the California State Audit Office is questioning it.
I mean, there's still a way to slime ball your way through that.
Yeah.
Because again, you need your agency to survive. So if there is no homelessness, then you don't survive. Oh, well, we'll try these outreach programs, but we'll require them to be sober. And it's like, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
because that's worked, you know, nowhere. That's good, though.
Yeah, it's solid. Oh, by the way, the California Interagency on whatever homelessness also failed to collect and evaluate outcome data for these programs due to the lack of a consistent methodology.
You know, I actually don't even blame them for lack of collecting data because there probably wasn't any.
So they didn't have a consistent collecting method from so this is for the period from 2018 to 2023, right? The last five fiscal years. So from 2018 to 2021, they didn't collect the data consistently. And then in 2021, they just said, yeah, fuck it. We're just going to stop collecting altogether. So the data that they did have from 2018 to 2021 isn't even valid because there's no consistency between any of it. That's pretty good.
I mean, I actually applaud them.
That's a new way to just waste money and time.
Yeah, I actually applaud that because their agency is such a sham that it shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
It's being allowed to operate with like no institutional control here. Like, it's like wearing tuxedos to the job interview for a fucking janitor. You're making a mockery of it. I get it.
Yeah.
They are fucking laughing in your face. That's how I'm interpreting this.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's just money quite literally just burnt up and thrown away, right? Because somebody between 2018 and 2021 got paid to collect that data, right? Whether inconsistently, right? Whether it was their full-time job or just part of their actual job description, whatever, it doesn't matter. Somebody was paid to collect, albeit inconsistently, that created invalid data, collect some sort of data for what, 4 years or 3 years from 2018 to 2021. And then finally in 2021, they were like, yeah, we're just going to stop collecting it altogether. So for three out of those 5 years, somebody got paid to basically bullshit collect stuff that isn't even usable.
I'm willing to bet that no one's been fired.
Probably not. That's what I mean. You want to talk about like layers of incompetency, right? And like waste. Like the organization as a whole is a waste, right? The way they counted their data was a waste. Paying the person to do the data inconsistently was a waste. It's like three different layers of wastefulness
also
in there.
Also paying everybody in the department.
Yeah.
Because if their sole purpose is to handle a homelessness, well, they're not collecting data, so you have no idea if their system's working or not. So even the fucking accountant, yeah, or the lady who sits at the front fucking front desk, it's all a waste. There's your $24 billion. Not literally, but...
Yeah.
And then whatever department that's a part of, who's in charge of that? Because that person sucks.
Yeah.
And then you can just go right up to governor. We know he sucks. But, you know, he could have sat there and been like, where's the $24 million? Oh, well, we spent it. On what?
Yeah.
Where? How?
Because the problem didn't improve.
Oh, well, we spent it, but you know, we don't have data. You know how data collection goes. Oh yeah, sure, $24 billion. Don't collect the data. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what? You just stop collecting it altogether. So this gets even better.
You
know
what? Make sure you ask for a pay raise next year too.
Yeah, yeah. Make sure you use up all your budget this year so you can justify a bigger budget next year.
Correct.
That's literally how government works. Like I've heard people say that. And not just government, but also that's how business works, right? Like some of the clients and the companies I work with, like I talk to them and they're like, yeah, we have to max out our budget every year if we want to request a larger budget next year. Like we can't justify any other way for a larger budget than saying, see, this year's budget wasn't enough. We need more money next year. And I'm like, wow, that's an interesting way to run a business.
By the way, the absurdity of that too, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We have to make sure we max this one out so that we can ask for an increase.
Yeah.
So are you having problems maxing out the budget or no?
And then like, what are you going to do?
What do you ask? What's the increase for?
Right. Right.
Obviously. So everyone gets paid more. I get that, but
yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes it's in like a CapEx budget. So like a capital expenses. So it's not necessarily like goes into salary. I see it a lot with like the pharmaceutical companies that I work with. Their CapEx budget like is say like $10 million, right? And if they want $11 million next year, they can't spend 9.2 this year and ask for 11 next year. They have to get to 10 and then be like, oh, next year we need 11. And then however, in this massive pharmaceutical organization makes its way to the top. And then they're like, okay, sure. Yeah, I see on the books here, you maxed out your CapEx budget this year. So next year, sure, we can justify your $11 million request. And then
to be fair, this can only happen in companies, not like with like literal unlimited money, but effectively unlimited money, like pharmaceutical companies, government agencies.
It can
agencies.
Happen on a smaller scale, though, for sure, at other companies. But I'm using this one example, right, for a pharmaceutical company and a CapEx budget. But this is exactly how you end up with random pieces of equipment that sit in labs that no one uses for like 7 years. Right. So I see it all the time again, because I have to move these companies. So we go in and there's this like massive piece of equipment that's like very complex, like needs like a vendor from Sweden to fly in to deinstall it and does this whole thing. And it's like, oh, wow, what does this do? And they explain whatever it does. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. Like, how often do you use this thing? Like, oh, we haven't used it in 6 years. Like, how come? They're like, well, you know, we needed it for one thing that we were doing a couple of years ago. And then, and this is great too. Sometimes they just say like, oh, and then that department was just closed down. So we just have that piece of equipment left over.
It was depreciated, I guess.
Well, yeah, yeah. But that's what they need to do too. They have to wait for a depreciation before they can get rid of it. But it's like all of this like random, like, mental math gymnastics that needs to be done for all these things. And like, that's what happens, right? Because you have a department that might be at $8.7 million of their $10 million budget, and they want more next year. So they're like, oh, well, we have $1.3 million to spend. Let's buy that piece of equipment that was $1 million that, you know, was absolutely wild. Well, are we going to need it? Well, I don't know. We need to spend the money. So let's just get it. And if we use it, we use it. And if we don't, we'll get rid of it in 7 years when it depreciates. It's like, that's literally how these companies work. It's wild. So I would imagine that's probably similar to how government agencies work also.
Yeah, that's the point I was making. So let me just use a fake industry, for example. Let's just say it's the guy I used for the shipping or they do shipping and crating. He helped us move.
Yeah.
If his guys go to him and go, all right, you know, we spent our budget. We need to go 10% above that. Mm-hmm. He's going to turn around and go, why?
Yeah.
For what? What the fuck are you doing with it?
Right.
But that's a small scale. It's the bigger scale, the the massive corporations, the pharmaceutical industry, government agencies,
Right.
where again, they don't have unlimited money, but they almost kind of do. Like pharmaceutical companies, yes, they don't have unlimited cash, but if they play their cards right, they ain't going fucking starving. Like,
Yeah, I mean,
if they know what the fuck they're doing,
Pfizer made,
forget it.
was it
That was stupid.
like $40 billion just off the vaccine? Just off the vaccine. Let alone like that, you know, that little thing that they sell called Viagra, that's probably the number one prescription in the entire world, if I had to guess, right? And like
Yeah, and
whatever
God forbid
else.
if they have a fucking blood pressure medication.
Like in 2021 alone, Pfizer might have made like in the hundreds of billions of dollars. So.
They fit the bill, government agencies fit the bill. And then like, yeah, I mean like a massive like bank or a massive financial institution.
Right, like a
Yeah.
JP Morgan Chase or, you
Yeah,
know, like one of
whatever.
those.
Yeah, American Express, like,
MasterCard, Visa, like
but that's and
those.
that's what I mean is like we're not talking regular. I mean, like
Right.
all these things that we're talking about are publicly traded.
Right.
Again, like so much corporate bullshit where it's like if they ask for a budget increase and they check the boxes on supported documentation, effectively it just gets approved.
Yeah.
Whereas on the smaller scale, because I'm an even smaller scale than my other guy that I was using as an example, I didn't even want to buy a whiteboard today for $50. Like that's what we're talking about here. Like the way I see it is, oh, you max your budget this year. Well, it can't be that much shit to buy next year.
Right, cool. You need half the budget next year then.
Yeah, I mean, then I'm fucking slashing that shit. Fuck
Yeah.
you doing maxing your budget out. The fuck is that?
Well, I need more.
You fucking out of your mind? Yeah,
Yeah,
sure, you can. Yeah, sure. You bring me 25K in revenue and I'll fucking increase your budget by three. That's how math works in the real world.
right. Yeah, so it's just kind of nuts, but. But so back to the Cal IHC. So this is a I read this and I was like, this is pretty good. So despite the audit's findings, Cal IHC said it has made improvements in data collection after AB 977 took effect on January 1, 2023. The law requires that grantees of state-funded homelessness programs enter specific data elements related to individuals and families into their local homeless management information system, which is a HMIS.
Another
So,
product that doesn't need to exist if
yes.
less there, like that's another one.
Yeah.
What is that software's incentive to be as efficient as possible?
But I love this claim. So the Cal IHC has said it made improvements in its data collection after Bill 977 took effect on January 1, 2023. Well, you weren't collecting any data at all. And I know I'm not a mathematician, but I know you can't divide anything by zero, right? But like, I know you get an error. However, when you're doing nothing to collect data, and now the law tells you need to collect something. I would also agree with you that you're probably doing a much better job. Like you have improved in your data collection because you were not collecting any at all before. Like what kind of claim is that? Like, oh no, we've made vast improvements in our data collection since since Bill 977 took place on January 1. Well, yeah, man, for 2 years you didn't collect any data. So, like, even if you walk around and just collect data on like the hair color of the homeless people, like that's more than you did for 2 years. And then, like you said, enter it into the HMIS, another a homelessness management information system that just doesn't need to exist. Because then you
If
have
it
people,
since
you
it
have to
does, the
employ
problem,
people to
well,
manage
someone
that.
developed that software.
Right. Right. And someone needs to manage it.
Yeah. So you got people working on it. Someone developed it. All the R&D that went into developing it. You don't want to lose out on all the money there.
Yep.
Got to keep that running.
Yeah. And then classic government. The last thing here is the Cal IHC shifted blame to local governments, saying these municipalities must be held more accountable. Imagine that. As they are the ones primarily responsible for implementing these programs and collecting data on outcomes that the state can use to evaluate program effectiveness. So imagine that, the balls on these people. This Cal IHC just ceased to collect data for 2 years. And now they're saying, well, it's the local municipality's fault because they need to collect the data.
Not my fault.
Yeah.
I'll give that agency a PhD in excuse making.
It's like,
not my fault, guy.
The local municipalities are the ones primarily responsible for implementing these programs and collecting data on outcomes. So then what were you doing between 2018 and 2021 when you were collecting data? Was it not the responsibility of the municipalities then?
This is brutal.
It's unbelievable. $24 billion. I hope everyone in California enjoys their like 50% tax rate that they're at.
Well, they're fucking earning it. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, for sure. And this is just one program. This is just one homelessness program. There's probably others, right? Other homelessness programs. And then there's for sure other government entities and organizations in that state that don't need to exist that are just as useless as this homelessness program.
Like the fecal matter division of the DPW.
Yeah, that likes to create public toilets in San Francisco.
What are those 10 employees going to do if the fucking homeless people stop shitting on the sidewalk?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why you got to put the public restroom in the nice part of San Francisco. Look, see, we have public restrooms now, so homeless people can use them. Yeah, but there's no homeless people where you put them.
Why is it behind a gate and a wall?
Yeah. So, yeah, welcome to California. What an absolute fucking disaster that place is.
It's funny, too, because someone made the point. They were like, the only issue with California is the major cities there. And I'm like, the major issues in those major cities are fucking problems. Like,
yeah.
Yes. So a state that's as big as New York to Georgia, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
Whether it's however you want to consider, whether it's San Francisco and LA or San Francisco, San Jose, LA. I don't know about Sacramento. I don't know shit.
Yeah.
San Diego usually gets to skate. They drag down the equivalent length of like 11 states.
Also,
it's not that many, but anyway,
most of California is like those seven cities. Like most of the people in California are those like six or seven cities. Because I didn't actually realize this. I just thought, like, obviously I know that there's whatever, there's like 50 million people or something that live in California. And I know there's a fuck ton of people, right? Obviously, LA has a ton. It's the biggest city in the country, population wise, I think. If you include illegals. So we just hired a guy that is on my team, and he is originally from outside of LA, right? I think he said he's from like the Anaheim area. And we were just shooting the shit the other day, and he was like, yeah, like, so another guy that works for us was in the military, and he was based in El Paso, and they were just talking about like driving between Texas and California and how useless Arizona and New Mexico are to drive through. And the guy from that grew up from around Anaheim was like, yeah, man, a lot of people don't realize that as soon as you get east of like Anaheim and like those major cities, California is just a fucking desert. He's like, there's nothing there. He goes, there's absolutely nothing on the eastern side of Southern California. It's just desert. He's like, you have LA, San Diego, and Anaheim, and then anything east is, you might as well be in New Mexico and Arizona because there's nothing there. And I was like, wow, I never actually realized that. And then he was saying, like, most of the people in California live in the major cities that you can sit here and name off the top of your head. He was like, outside of that, like, yeah, Lake Tahoe is on the eastern side of like mid California by like Utah or Nevada or whatever. And it's like, other than Lake Tahoe, he goes, can you name me anything on the eastern side of California? And I was like, no, I actually can't. And he was like, yeah, because there's nothing there. I was like, holy shit. California is literally, it's so fucking big, but it literally is just the coastline and it is just like seven cities. That's it.
Yeah, so it's like one of those empty promises. So, oh well, it's really just the cities that like drag you down.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I drove from fucking Carmel to Big Sur, and there was nothing on the way, and there was nothing when we got there,
Yeah.
and it looked like, now you can only see so far, and it looked like there was a whole lot of nothing the rest of the way too. I feel like 5 hours to LA, and there was just going to be nothing on the way. Coastline and fucking mountains.
Yeah, basically.
And that's on the West Coast.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's not even inland.
So I think this gets goofy because I think this is one of those like Boston, Greater Boston things. Because I just looked up population by city in California, and they list LA as only having a population of like 4 million people. But
That's not right.
I've heard people say there's up to like 20 million people that live in LA. But I feel like we're in one of those situations where like what defines LA versus like what people call LA, right? So like if LA, if there's things like, and I'm just gonna name random things and I might sound like an idiot, but whatever. Because I know there's like Burbank, right? And like
Beverly Hills, West
and Beverly
Hollywood.
Hills, right? Like, is that technically not LA, right? But like when people say LA, they think of all of that as one, kind of like in Boston, right? Like Allston, Brighton, Brookline technically is not part of Boston. But if you ask someone in Brookline where they live, they're like, oh yeah, no, I'm Bo it's Boston, right? Like it's the same thing as like you could stretch it out for the greater Boston area, right? And to include, Medford, Malden, Everett, Cambridge, Somerville, like Revere, like that area. So like greater Boston is a little bit bigger. But like Brookline isn't Boston, right? Even though it is Boston. So like
Like
I wonder.
you know how they say like Riviera's in Pacific Palisades.
Yeah.
That's fairly outside of downtown LA.
Yeah.
And Compton is also, I'm just looking at a map because I was looking at how much nothing there really was.
Yeah.
Compton seems to be fairly outside of downtown LA as well.
Yeah.
But so I did pull up. So it is all desert from like, I mean, so Temecula is south of in Murrieta. I think that's where Ricky Fowler's from, Murrieta, California. If you go directly east from LA, there's a national forest. You go a little bit south of that, it's Palm Springs. Anything east of that is like Joshua Tree National Park,
Yeah.
Mojave National Preserve, and it's a lot of brown on the map.
Yeah.
So when you go north, Death Valley National Park. It's all national parks. That's it.
Yeah.
And
It's all desert.
It's brown until you get pretty much all the way up Nevada, obviously, big surprise there.
Yeah.
But inland is all national parks as well. Like Fresno is like moderately inland. And then like it's just all national parks, national forest, national forest, national forest,
Yeah.
national park, national forest, national parks, national parks, national forest, national preserve. Like, no shit, they have all these wildfires. All there are is fucking trees.
I know. I
There's
know.
nothing else here. It's interesting. I've
That
also, but it's like one of those things, like I wouldn't have thought this, but I've also never would have actually spent the time to give California this much thought either.
it's one of those I just thought it was I thought it was funny. 'Cause it he had a good point, right? He was like, "Yeah, man, there's nothing there."
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have known what was there to like dispute that, but I would have thought there was more.
Yeah, same. Because you hear again, like 50 million people in California, and you're like, oh man, there's got to be people everywhere. But
There's gonna be, I was like, something
there's not.
village or some bullshit.
Then you get up Northern California, and then it's all wine country, right? And then it's all just grape valleys and shit. So yeah, there's a lot of empty space there that I feel like people didn't really know about. See what else we got going on. Anything? You want to wrap this up? Are we at that time?
We can
It's
wrap
kind of
this
been
up. I mean,
yeah, kind of been
mine,
this time.
I don't know how quick mine's going to be anyway. So I finished listening to the Billy Walters book.
Ah, yes.
And did you read it, listen to it, anything?
Yeah, I listened to it on
Okay.
Audible.
Okay. So there might be some spoilers, so if you're like dead set on hearing the book, you might not want to listen or do listen. I don't really know, whatever. Because you'd have to, because the thing with him is he like everything about him is kind of an open book.
Yeah. Oh no, I haven't read it yet. I've listened to him on he was on the Joe Rogan podcast, so
Yeah,
I haven't read his book.
you sent that to me.
Yeah, I have the book. I bought it, but I haven't read it yet.
Okay. So that's the thing with him is the stories about him. Or I guess his reputation is known. He's a fucking degenerate. Now, he's probably one of the most successful sports bettors ever, but he's a fucking degenerate at heart. And he went to jail for insider trading. Like, that's what his story is. So the book just gives detail and expands upon that stuff. So it's funny because as someone that appreciates a degenerate lifestyle, I even found myself with the book also just like I was actually found myself getting annoyed at how many times this guy just fucking blew his load. Like, now admittedly, he was a gambling addict and he was a fucking drunk. I forget when he gave up drinking, but it was like every time in the book that like things started to get like okay, it's like he would just fucking bust out again. It's like,
Yeah.
how do you keep doing this? I just don't get it. It became frustrating at a point.
Yeah.
And then it's like I listened to it over like a long time. That probably wasn't smart, because then I'm like, then all of a sudden he was successful. And I'm like, wait a minute, how the fuck did this happen? Like, when was the transition? Like, how did he fucking figure this out? So that would be something. I'm not going to listen to it again, but that would be something to try to like fucking keep an eye for when you do read it. Is like, how does he go from massive piece of shit to like figuring this out? Because I definitely fucking missed that part.
But
Yeah.
again, I also listened to it very broken up over a quite a wide period of time. Yeah.
But the book is also, it's also strange because he gives like some of his like handicapping tips for football, like right in the middle. And it's like very technical math and very technical like handicapping.
Yeah.
Because it starts out like story of his life, story of his life, story of his life, you know, a little bit of his relationship with Phil. Then he gets like hardcore handicapping. And then it goes back to like his time in jail and how he got there. And I'm
Yeah.
like, what the hell was that handicapping chapter? Like, how did that just show up?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I will say, I mean, say what you will for as frustrated as I was with him, like getting up, getting down, getting up, getting down, getting up, getting down. Every time he got up, he ended up fucking down. And that was like the thing was, I didn't like leave the book thinking like, oh, wow, that was like pretty cool how he pulled that one off. I left the book thinking, again, this could be of how I took it in. I sat myself like, wait a minute. How did he pull this off? I'm
Yeah.
still not clear on that front. And how did he make so much fucking money?
Yeah.
Now, he did admit, like, part of it too was he goes, I was gonna win fucking big, or I was gonna lose every fucking penny I had when I was drinking and gambling.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
He goes, that was it. And yeah, I mean, when you bust out that many times, like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But I also got a kick. The part that I got the biggest kick out of, because he doesn't really get into the sports betting stuff. Like he sets up this massive operation, which he talked about in the Rogan podcast.
Right.
So really, it was just like a really like well-oiled machine of like how he pulled that one off. But he did talk a lot about like his golf gambling and like some of the guys he would play with and some of the matches he had and things like that. Like that was mildly entertaining to me because, you know, it sounds like he was probably like a mid high single digit, and he would just like whatever the bet was, he would just say yes to it and then try to figure it out from there. So yeah, I mean, I thought the book was fine. I mean, it's definitely worth going through for like, because the stories are a little crazy. But some of the reviews I heard about it, I'm like, I don't know if I'm seeing that. Like, I didn't think that that book, like, and I didn't know anything about Billy Walters before the interview with Rogan. I don't really think the book really shed a lot of light on a guy that was any better than how he came off.
Yeah.
And I know it's like usually gambling gets like a bad rap. Like he actually wasn't doing anything illegal, like most of the time.
Right.
So it did seem like a little bit like almost like, well, what is the story here? And
Yeah.
that's the thing is like even now it's like I still don't know.
Yeah, it's just a guy that had a crazy life and is a gambler.
Yeah.
Those two things kind of go hand in hand, though, when you're a professional gambler.
Yeah. But again, it's like he set up this operation that was like so fucking crazy that it's like, well, I mean, if you got like crazy data scientists and whatever.
Right.
Some of the computer group stuff was interesting. That was like late 70s. He gets into that. Like, cause that would be like the first of like what would be like a syndicate. That was fairly cool, but yeah, I definitely left the book like not really thinking that this guy was any more impressive than he should be or shouldn't be. So I don't know. I don't know on that one. And now he's like super old. You can tell he's falling in at this point. So
yeah, I mean, I think that's probably been the motivation behind him wanting to like write the book and get everything out there is because he's old and he knows.
Yeah, and I think what he's trying to do is just so the book, in my opinion, served the purpose of that he's explaining his side of the story.
Yeah.
Because everyone's gonna think that he's a fucking insider. He's an insider trading guy. And he broke the law, and all this time he was a illegal, degenerate gambler, piece of shit, whatever.
Right.
And that's not really it.
Right.
Now, he had a tough start to his life, but
yeah.
The other things that my first immediate thing was, he's from Kentucky, and boy, is he from fucking Kentucky. Like, I forget all the details, but I think his mother had him when she was like 16 and she might have been married at the time. And his mother might have been a sibling of fucking somebody. And it was like all this Kentucky stuff. Like, it might have been like a second cousin or a first cousin. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, everything they said about Kentucky is fucking true.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, he got married at like 17 or some shit, divorced by like 19. But dude, by the time he was like 23, he was like married twice, divorced twice, and had like 4 kids or some shit.
Yeah, that does seem very Kentucky.
Yeah. And it's like, again, there was some level of like incestual, I guess, allusions to incest.
Yeah.
With like his mother or something, I believe. Yeah. And then like, it's just a mess. It really was. The opening of the book is just a fucking, it's a fucking ride.
Well, it's sitting on my bookshelf, so I'll have to dust it off at some point and try and read it with all that time I have. I should have just bought the audiobook. I don't know why I bought the real book, but
yeah,
because I was like, oh, I'm gonna read it. Yeah, okay. I'll read it eventually, but I don't know when. Which brings me to my final thought. This is just a setup for my final thought, but I've been working on getting a fence built for the garden in the backyard that currently doesn't really exist. We have like the holders, like the raised garden beds, whatever. But we got to get through the whole like fence thing. So obviously the dog can't get in and all the other animals that we have, like rabbits and fucking whatever, mice and all kinds of shit that live, deer that live in the yard. And I mean, turkeys is nothing you can do because they can fly, but regardless, we gotta build the fence, right? So that's a whole thing in and of itself, but that's actually not my final thought. It's in relation to this. So I texted you guys in our group text, was it last night? I had to stop by Lowe's on my way home from work because in getting all the lumber that I need to build everything on, it was either Saturday or Sunday, Lowe's didn't have the fence posts that I needed. I needed a 4x4x6 foot and they didn't have any. They had 3 and 2 of them were bowed like pretty bad. And I was like, well, can't make a fence post with a bowed piece of fucking wood. But the guy was like, oh, we're getting a lumber delivery tomorrow. So if you come back tomorrow, it should be here. Well, lo and behold, there was a whole fucking pallet worth of 4x4x6 foot posts. So I load up my panel cart from Lowe's and I, you know, walk my way. I grabbed a couple other things that I needed. And I'm waiting in line by the lumber checkout. So for anyone that's familiar with Lowe's or even Home Depot, they're basically the same setup, right? The lumber department is separate. Like it's all the way down the other end, and then towards the other, like the regular end is like the normal like checkout lines, whatever. I was in the lumber department, so I just was going out by the lumber checkout. So there was a line. There was a line of people. There was like two people in front of me. So I'm just standing there hanging out, not really paying much attention to anything. And all of a sudden, these three characters, and when I say characters, I mean characters, walked into Lowe's. And this my Lowe's is the, and this could be more most Lowe's is. There's like whatever, two or three aisles of lumber that goes from the front all the way to the back, but then along the wall, right? So technically the last aisle or the first aisle, whatever you want to call it, has all the stuff for cement, right? There's any kind of dusted cement you want, like mix, whatever cement alternative, wrought iron, whatever, anything you need, right? That's the aisle it's going to be in. So I'm standing in line and these three characters walk in. Now I stereotyped and profiled the shit out of them. So keep that in mind when I give you the description here. So all three of them were wearing full sweatsuits, like old school, like champion sweatsuits, right? And they were monochrome. So there was one dude in a black sweatshirt, black sweatpants, and I think the other two dude, well, one was in like a dark gray sweatsuit and the other one was like a light gray sweatsuit. So you had all the colors of gray and black sweatsuits that you could have. There's one dude who was huge. Like he had to be at least 6'4", 260, 270, big dude, big black guy. And he had a limp. He had like a pronounced limp when he was walking. So he's coming in. The other two guys are two short, fat, white guys. Like, the three of these guys walking in together, right? And I think one of them is pushing a carriage. And they walk right in, they don't look anywhere. They go immediately down the cement aisle. And I'm standing there just laughing to myself, being like, holy shit. So, this is not the clientele that you would imagine seeing at a Lowe's, right? There's three of these guys together. They look kind of out of sorts, like they don't belong. They're dressed as like very stereotypical, like sweatsuits. Two of the guys had flat brimmed hats on. There's one dude who's wearing a pair of Jordans, right? Again, stereotyping, profiling, whatever, but this is how things go when you're standing in line at a Lowe's checkout. And they just knew exactly where they were going down the cement aisle. So I texted you guys in our group and I go, holy shit. I think I just witnessed a bunch of guys coming in to buy cement to give someone cement shoes. Or like, bury someone in the ground and cover them in cement or something like that. Because like these, if we weren't in a Lowe's, right? If we were just on the street and I took a picture of these three guys together and I said, what do you think they do? One of the top things that someone would probably guess was like some sort of like mob related activity, gang related activity, whatever it might be, right? And they were all probably in their 40s, maybe 50s, right? Like they were older guys too. So like those are kind of the guys that are left with mob ties, right? Like there's no like 22-year-olds running around that, working for the mob anymore. They just kind of don't exist. One, because they're kind of pussies, and two, because like the younger generation probably does things online and shit, right? Like they do like cybercrime or whatever they do. So yeah, I was like, wow, I think I just witnessed people getting ready to fuck someone up with cement one way or another.
I feel like you wouldn't go to Lowe's. if you're gonna give someone cement shoes.
Where
Too
would you
many
go?
cameras. Well, you need to go, you need somewhere off the grid. Too many cameras. Too obvious. Obviously, they stick out like a sore thumb. Unless they're the mules or the beards.
Yeah, I mean, they also could be from Rhode Island, right? Or Connecticut, right? And they just drove all the way over here to do whatever they're gonna do. Or maybe they're from New Hampshire or north of Boston, like wherever, you know what I mean? Like they could be from anywhere and they just decided to go to the Lowe's in North Attleboro, probably paying cash for whatever, right? Like it's so far away from wherever they're gonna, like I can't imagine they were gonna whack someone in Plainville. Right, like that would be really dumb to go to the North Attleboro Lowe's, if you're doing a job in Plainville or anywhere around here. So they could be from really far away that they just decided on a whim, like that's the one we're gonna go to. Again, I wasn't in line long enough to see the what they got, but
Seems too easy.
yeah, I mean, sometimes you don't need to make things more complicated than they have to be.
Maybe their driveways, maybe their sidewalks cracked.
Maybe.
Not gonna buy tech pants just to fucking fix a sidewalk once.
Yeah, who knows, right? Could have been anything. I mean, I would say the probability is that it was something totally random, but just the way the situation presented itself was like, oh wow, these guys are definitely here for something. And it wasn't like a, you know what I mean? And that's what I'm getting at is like the people that you know don't frequent Lowe's or like don't really belong there. They kind of do that thing where they walk into Lowe's and they're
Well, they knew what
looking
they were
at the
getting.
aisles, like trying to read like what is where and like looking up, trying to read the signs. These guys knew exactly where they were going. There was no hesitation. There was no fucking around. They went right into the cement aisle.
Maybe masonry is just a mere hobby of theirs.
Yeah, maybe they're masons, you know, that could be a thing. That's certainly a possibility, right? But I just you know, thought it was funny. I figured I would share that because it gave me a good laugh, especially as I was texting you guys, being like, wow, this is kind of nuts. If part of me really wanted, like, if I wasn't about to go check out, I kind of wanted to be like, oh shit, hold on, I gotta go grab something and like just go and see what they were doing, what they were looking at, just to get the confirmation of like, are they actually buying cement? Because it would have been really funny if I went down there and they were like looking at like mailboxes or some stupid shit, right? Like, oh man. But then it's not a funny story. That's part of the allure, right? Is the unknown. So, in my head, they work for the mob. So, there you have it. That's going to do it for us. Thank you for watching. If you're on YouTube, don't forget to click subscribe up above, hit the thumbs up down below. Subscribe if you're an audio only guy. If you use Apple or Spotify, leave us a review and 5 stars. Tell everybody you know about the show. You get us on Instagram at Sarcasm Speaks Pod. Twitter is Sarcasm underscore Speaks. Facebook is Sarcasm Speaks. Website is sarcasmspeaks.com. Go to the merch store, buy some merch, and also check out the show notes below for all of the links and deals and promo codes and everything you can get from the sponsors. So go support those guys, check those out. And until next time, good night, everybody.